Part 1.
Two groups, Ooches and Yobs, lived on a mostly barren world that circled a shimmering yellow sun. The smaller, meek Ooches, who grew and gathered the food eaten by all, worked for the wavy-haired, much larger Yobs, who owned all the fertile land. After declaring it was their destiny to rule over the Ooches, the Yobs forced the Ooches to live in the stark, clammy caves located in the rocky foothills that surrounded the lovely, lush valley occupied by the Yobs. Along with bountiful fruit and nut trees, sparkling spring-fed ponds, and a steady flow of warm air, the valley had helpful bobbers, flying, pudgy, purple, bumblebee-like residents that busily attended to whatever needed to be pollinated. Thanks to the golf ball-sized bobbers, there were many tasty treats and a wide range of colorful, eye-catching flowers. Different from Yobs, the Ooches saw bobbers as much more than carriers of pollen. They also saw them as special teachers to be studied and modeled. When spotting one of the pretty flying baubles swoop and sway through the air, the Ooches often took time to watch it pull up a foot or so from its target and proceed to bob as if facing a steady headwind. To the Ooches, the bobbing of the bobbers was a delicate dance, a beautiful ballet that revealed bobbers knew not only how to pollinate, but also how to live with patience, grace, and honor. Though Yobs had a much easier life than Ooches, they weren't without troubles. A big problem for Yobs was the way they traveled about. Thought by them to be a show of progress, the popular whoops Yobs used often crashed. Whoops were one- and two-person wooden wagons powered by motors that were wound by hand. The wagons were called whoops because they made a whoop, whoop, whoop sound when underway, making the wind-up motors used in whoops more and more powerful had made traveling about more and more dangerous. By far, riding in a whoop was the leading cause of injuries. Another huge problem for the Yobs was one shared by the Ooches. It was eating uh-oh berries. The uh-ohs grew on bushes that sprang from foothill crevices. Long ago, the berries were only eaten to lessen physical pain. Over time, though, some Yobs and Ooches also ate them to feel less anxious, sad, or angry. The pesky drawback was eating the uh-ohs made it hard for Yobs and Ooches to concentrate, which in turn made both groups more prone to mishaps. To avoid blame for mishaps due to eating the uh-ohs, those doing so would usually deny they'd eaten them. Once family or friends found out the truth, which often happened, there was much quarreling. just about everyone eating uh-ohs found it harder to avoid mishaps and harder to get along with others. Like all children, young Yobs were curious. Sometimes their curiosity helped them learn new and useful things. Other times, it led them to discover the adults didn't always have good answers. One Yob child, Bree, had become very interested in understanding why adult Yobs treated the Ooches poorly. Her curiosity led her to ask questions that caused her mother and teacher to see her as rebellious. Bothered by her daughter's willful readiness to question adults, Bree's mother, who happened to be a top official, decided to take Bree to a nearby park for a talking to. On their way, they passed an orchard where Ooch children were picking fruit and nuts. Spotting a familiar Ooch girl who had always smiled back, Bree slowed and waved. Seeing the girls wave to each other caused Bree's mother, Mai, to bristle. "You haven't befriended that Ooh, have you?" sternly asked the mother. Calling an Ooch an Ooh was a popular put-down, a common way for Yobs to belittle Ooches. After cringing a bit when she heard the Ooch girl called an Ooh, Bree answered, "She's someone I like to wave to. Isn't thinking she's not good enough to be a friend not nice?" she asked. "The Ooze don't make good friends. All your parents make sure their children don't befriend Ooze," said the mother as she nudged Bree to walk faster. "I've never seen an Ooch be unkind or unfair. Why wouldn't they make good pals?" wondered Bree. "The Oos don't want to improve themselves. Let's sit and chat about the talk I had with your teacher. She's concerned about you," replied the mother, while starting for a bench by a shady tree. "She and I sometimes clash," shared Bree as they sat. "Yesterday, she said whoops were a great invention, when I disagreed by saying too many get hurt while traveling in whoops, she got grouchy." The mother sided with Bree's teacher. 5 minutes of cranking gets a whoop rider from one end of your valley to the other. Because of how fast whoops are, Yobs have time to do other things, such as make the gings we're wearing. Gings were two-piece outfits the Yobs made out of a crop picked by Ooches. Bree was puzzled. "But isn't it more important to prevent injuries? I don't understand why adults and teens don't walk more and crank less," she posed. "Many of the whoop accidents happen after drivers have eaten uh-oh berries, Bree," explained the mother. "Though properly used to ease physical pain by those who are very ill or badly injured, weaklings wrongly eat uh-oh berries to ease mental distress." "What's mental distress?" asked Bree. "It's what weaklings feel when life gets difficult," answered the mother. "Maybe Yobs should stop using WAPs until they figure out how to lessen distress, pressed Bree. You can forget about the OBS giving up on WAPs. Making, selling, and repairing them, as well as using them to haul all sorts of things, are important ways yobs earn yims, explained the mother. Yims were the coins the yobs use to pay workers and buy goods. I think being safe should be more important than earning yims, said Bree, as two adult ooches carrying full baskets of fruit on their backs began passing by. Already annoyed with Bree, the mother scowled when one of the ooches stumbled, causing him to drop some fruit onto the ground. Those clumsy ooze have probably been eating uh-oh berries, accused the mother. Dressed in the ooch's usual garb, ruffled hand-me-down clothes, the passers-by quickly crouched to pick up what had fallen. Becoming even more irritated when she heard the ooch's chatting, the mother grumbled loud enough for them to hear. Though we've told them to speak correctly, the defiant little ooze hold on to their twang to make it hard for yobs to know when they're saying bad things about us, claimed the mother. Why do you think they're saying bad things about us? Asked a perplexed Bree as she watched the ooches hurry off. I just told you that they refuse to speak correctly. If they won't follow simple rules for speaking and dressing, they can't be trusted, answered the mother. I understand them fine, and I don't see what's wrong with their clothes, said Bree. Wearing worn, wrinkled patch gings is a way to be defiant, replied the mother. Maybe ooches think dressing differently won't help them get respect, offered Bree. Respect is something that must be earned, Bree, noted the mother. Everyone knows, even kids, that without the ooches to climb trees, the yobs wouldn't have the food they need to live. Isn't that a good enough reason to think well of ooches? Asked Bree. That wasn't what the Urk mother wanted to hear. You've heard me and other adult yobs again and again explain the way things are. Why, as of late, are you so disagreeable? You've become determined to create a fuss every chance you get, accused the mother. Bree scratched her head. Something has changed for me. Unlike before, I need to know why sometimes not being nice is okay. How the ooches are treated, especially making them live in the caves, seems unkind and unfair to me, she answered. The ooze are cave dwellers for a good reason, claimed the mother. What's the good reason? Asked Bree. The mother was quick to answer. They don't just have stunted bodies, their minds are stunted too. If the stronger and smarter yobs didn't rule over them, they'd be worse off. They won't even use yims to buy food, she carried on. Don't they pick the food they need? Asked Bree. They can't just pick what they need. All the food belongs to the yobs. After the ooze gather it, the orbs give them an agreed-upon portion, explained the mother. I didn't know all the food belongs to the yobs. That doesn't make sense, said Bree, even more confused. It makes perfect sense, firmly stated the mother. Bree turned palms up. How can those who don't grow or gather the food own all of it? She wondered. Like I already told you, being better in all the ways that matter has destined the Yobs to rule over the Uches, declared the mother. I've heard adult Yobs say climbing trees with baskets is scary. It doesn't seem fair that the ones brave enough to climb are ruled by the ones too frightened to climb, pointed out Bree. That's because you don't appreciate how progress comes about. Once again, without the Yobs, the Uches would be worse off, insisted the mother. Bree had another question. What could be worse than living in the dank, gloomy caves? Frustrated, the mother rose, then turned to Bree. Why do you think the land on which the food grows is called Yob Valley? The answer is because the Yobs, not the Ooze, own the land. You understand what it means to own something, right? While walking alongside her mother as they headed for home, Bree continued to speak up for the Uches. I've heard the Uches don't like being called Ooze. It's unkind to call them something they don't like, isn't it? Asked Bree. You haven't been listening to me, complained the mother before smugly spouting what she believed to be obvious. Calling them Ooze is the natural thing to do. How is it natural? Challenged Bree. Now quite perturbed, the mother again explained why she believed the Yobs were superior. The answer is as plain as anything can be. Use yourself as an example, Bree. You're already taller than adult Ooze. Also, you don't find using yims unnecessary. Though she knew her mother was aggravated, Bree didn't stay quiet. But I'm only taller because I grew to be taller. And when it comes to using yims, I just do it because I'm told to. I have no idea why yims are necessary. Stepping in front of Bree to bring them both to a sudden halt, the mother looked down at her daughter, then curtly ended their talk. Yobs are better than Ooze. Calling them Ooze reminds them and us of that fact. It's that simple. Someone who's had the good fortune to be a Yob shouldn't fuss, so don't. After returning home, Bree and her mother spotted something unexpected and unsettling. The family whoop had been badly smashed. Hurrying toward the wreckage as they watched a tow whoop drive away, their attention soon shifted to Bree's teenage brother, Nib, who staggered a bit as he exited the front door of their adobe-style house with his forehead bandaged. Moving to and leaning on the battered whoop, Nib played down his accident. I think the damage can be repaired in a few days, he noted. Was anyone else involved? Crossly asked the mother. The woman I collided with may have broken her leg. The Yaba took her to be looked at. The Yaba were the police. I told them I swerved when a barber zigzagged in front of me, explained Nib. The mother plopped hands on hips. You're trying to avoid the punishment you'd receive for driving a wop after eating uh-oh berries, she contended. I didn't eat uh-ohs. There's no need to be ashamed of me, lied Nib, hoping his mother would ease up. Rather than calm down, the mother grew angrier. Because I know you did eat them, I am ashamed, she blared. I didn't eat them, again fibbed Nib. Then why did you wobble out of the house? Questioned the mother. The collision left me dazed, claimed Nib. You're lying, shouted the mother. Having seen her mother and brother argued fiercely in the past, Bree became more anxious. Nib pounded his fist on the wop's busted wooden fender, then brazenly confessed. What if I did eat them? He challenged. I'm one of the three. It would be humiliating to have you get into a wop accident because you ate uh-oh berries, hollered the irate mother. By saying she was one of the three, the mother was reminding her son she was a member of the elected Yaw Valley Governing Committee, the trio who made the rules all Yobs and Ooches had to follow. You may as well get the rest of my bad news. I'm quitting Maru, informed Nib. Maru's were schools Yob children attended. Saying that is sure to make things worse, thought Bree. That's definitely not going to happen, growled the mother. I'm tired of all the failing and bullying, fought back Nib. The mother screeched. Stop being a weakling! I am a weakling, feebly said Nib. You got the uh-oh berries from Ooze. Those conniving little troublemakers are trying to weaken the Yobs so that they can take over, accused the mother. Don't blame the Ooches. I got the uh-ohs on my own, insisted Nib. You can forget about quitting Maru, said the mother. And the next time you eat those berries, I'm having the Yaba lock you up for a week. Don't think I won't put up with shame to straighten you out, she threatened. You won't even try to understand, wearily said Nib, as he turned to retreat to his bedroom. An hour later, after things had calmed down, Bree went to Nib in search of answers. I'd like to talk, she told him from his bedroom doorway. Come in, then close the door behind you, he replied as he sat up on his bed. I don't understand why Mother always blames the Ooches, said Bree. A downhearted Nib had an answer. After our ancestors decided it was their destiny to rule over the Ooches, they took up and passed on Ooch blaming. Always blaming Ooches lets the Yobs continue to pretend it's okay to mistreat them, he explained. So, accusing Ooches of being troublemakers give Yobs a reason to act as if it was and still is okay not to be nice to them, said Bree, wanting to understand. Of course, finding another yob who'll admit that so won't be easy, noted Nib. Something else was bothering Bree. I wish you didn't eat uh-ohs, she told her brother. Nib turned away. I'm tired of struggling to learn Maru stuff I don't care about, and I've had it with getting teased because of my size. You don't go to the same Maru as me, so you don't hear me get called an ooh because I'm smaller than all the other yob boys. I don't feel so bad after eating a handful of uh-ohs, at least not for a while, he softly answered. We have to make Mother understand what's happening to you at Maru, said Bree. Talking to her is useless. She'll just again tell me to stop being a weakling, said Nib, sighing before continuing. One of the three can't have a weakling for a son. Bree was discouraged. Adults aren't spending enough time making sure kids learn to be nice, she decided. That's for sure, said Nib. Being nice isn't something to memorize for a test. It's something everyone needs to keep going over, proposed Bree before trying to better understand why uh-oh berries were so popular. Do you always feel good after eating uh-ohs? She asked. A glum Nib answered, usually, but soon afterward, I often feel down and want more. Uh-ohs make it easy to crash a whoop because they make it hard to pay attention to what you're doing. The whoop accident I had was my fault, he revealed. Are you really going to quit Maru? Asked Bree. As soon as I can find an empty cave to move into, answered Nib. You're going to live among the Ooches? Replied a surprised Bree. It's the only way for me and Mother to stop battling, said Nib. How will you get Yims to buy food? Asked a concerned Bree. Maybe I can sell uh-ohs to the yobs who don't want to go into the foothills to get them, said Nib. But selling uh-ohs can get you in a lot of trouble, fearfully warned Bree. I'll be careful. One thing is for sure. I'm done with whoops. Knowing I hurt someone has me wanting more uh-ohs, regretted Nib. Bree tried to change Nib's mind. Won't selling uh-ohs leave you knowing you may have helped someone else crash a whoop? Besides, eating them must cause hurt in lots of ways, she pointed out. Nib remained silent. I think you know, eating them isn't a good way to take care of your mind, gently said Bree, again trying to be helpful. The three should put you in charge of making sure everyone's mind gets the care it needs, said Nib with a brief chuckle. With arms lifted and palms held upward, Bree spoke with confidence. If I was in charge of such care, I'd make sure Yobs knew that nothing can keep us from knowing when we're not nice. You're right, Bree. We always know when we're not nice. Sooner or later, we end up feeling bad about ourselves, admitted Nib. We need ways to keep reminding ourselves how important it is to be nice, said Bree as she looked out a window and spotted a bobber careen toward a flower. She then watched the bobber pause in order to flap and bounce in front of the flower's long, white, tunnel-like petals. You'll make that known to all yobs one day, Bree, flattered Nib. Bree dropped elbows onto the sill, plopped chin into cupped palms, and kept eyes on the plump purple pollinator as it bobbed every which way. Up and down, side to side, forward and backward. There must be a way to get yobs to begin to at least talk about making sure everyone's mind gets the care it needs, she pondered as the bobber finally plunged into the flower. While walking home from Maru the following day, Bree again came upon the orchard where several of the Ooch children worked. Soon after spotting the girl who always returned a wave and smile, something unusual happened. The Ooch girl walked to the side of the road. Deciding to ignore her mother's wishes, Bree approached the girl. The Ooch girl turned, hesitated, then shyly spoke without looking up. I'm Roo. Though a head shorter than Bree, Roo was about the same age. Trying to seem smaller, Bree slouched. I'm Bree. Thanks for stopping, said Roo as she lifted her head to make eye contact. Bree took a deep breath. I'm nervous, she shared. I'm nervous too, said Roo. I came to the road because Ooches are passing on good news to our Yob neighbors. Would you like to hear it? Very much, said Bree. The Ooches are offering the Yobs a gift tomorrow morning outside Yob Hall, informed Roo. What is it? Asked Bree. It's a surprise the Ooches want to present to as many Yobs as possible. The Ooch delivering it will be speaking for all Ooches when he relays, we hope the gift will make us worthy of a better life in the eyes of the Yobs, timidly explained Roo. Ooches make sure everyone has food, admired Bree. All of you surely deserve better lives. Roo felt encouraged. Once our lives improve, we hope those among us who use uh-ohs will stop using them. Much hurt follows the use of uh-ohs by Ooches, she admitted. The Yobs also cause much hurt by using uh-ohs. There's not enough kindness and fairness to change things, sadly said Bree. That kindness and fairness need to be taught over and over is also an important lesson for Ooches to learn. We believe the uh-ohs weaken our Oochla, shared Roo. What's Oochla? Asked Bree. It's being ready and willing to be kind or fair. Without a strong Oochla, Ooches can't like themselves. We believe the Yobs have a Yobla that's like our Oochla, noted Roo. Bree understood. Eating uh-ohs definitely weakens Yabla. Not wanting to offend Bree, Rouge shrugged. My brother says he eats uh-ohs to feel better, but he admits that not long after eating them, he feels bad again, shared Bree. Rue was hopeful. If the gift helps the Yobs respect the Ooches, it could strengthen the Yobs' Yabla. Even something simple like no longer putting down Ooches by calling us Ooze could improve Yabla. Bree was enthused. That makes sense. The Yobs have to know that calling Ooches Ooze isn't nice. No longer doing something they know isn't nice would help Yobs like themselves. Treating the Ooches better in other ways would strengthen Yabla even more, she added. The gift could change things for Ooches and Yobs, said Rue, as a nearby bobber caught her attention. The Ooches believe that along with making food, the bobbers do something else that's special. They teach us to keep bobbing until we're ready and willing to be nice. We're supposed to watch the bobbers whenever we get the chance, she shared. I bet watching bobbers would help Yobs too, noted Bree as she turned to watch the bobber in front of them do what was usual for it, bob patiently before lunging to complete the task at hand. After again facing Bree, Rue spoke with regret. Eating uh-ohs makes watching bobbers less likely, and being not nice, more likely. The Ooches are hurting. Their hurt makes a lot of sadness and anger, she worried. The Yobs also have much hurt that turns into sadness and anger, said Bree. Tomorrow's Anomuru Day. That means my brother Nib and I will definitely be outside Yob Hall to see the gift. Pleased, Rue smiled. I've never been inside an Ooch's cave, said Bree, hoping their talk was the start of a friendship. I've never been inside a Yob's home. Maybe the gift will change things, said Rue. I hope so. I really hope so, wished Bree. That night, the Ooches came together in the foothills. After lighting the tall torches they'd wedged in the rocky terrain, they waited to hear from an elder Ooch, Herb, who had been chosen to bring their gift to the Yobs. Feeling the weight of the task before him, Herb walked to the campfire outside his cave, then took a full breath as he looked over the gathering. Rising not far from Herb, Rue's father got the meeting underway. Today, we told many Yobs about our gift. So, the morning crowd outside Yob Hall should be large, he announced before turning toward Herb. Your willingness to deliver the gift and speak with the three is greatly appreciated, Herb. The Ooch'la energy of us all goes with you. After running hands through gray hair, Herb dropped arms by sides. He then noted the hardship the Ooches had known. We have long searched far into the foothills for a homeland. Unable to find one, we have done our best to bring warmth and light into the cold, dark caves we've been forced to inhabit. Many in the crowd shook their heads in agreement. Earp continued, "Despite our effort to live with honor, the scorn we have suffered has caused some among us to try to replace Uchla with uh-oh berries, a choice that's added to our misery. Tomorrow, by way of our gift, we seek to improve the lives of the Yobs and, by doing so, better our own lives. Bettering our lives will lessen the lure of the uh-oh berries," called out a mother. "That is our hope," continued Herb. "But please, everyone, remember that despite what happens tomorrow, the power to strengthen Uchla will remain within us," he concluded before bowing his head. Hopeful that their gift and goodwill would be appreciated by the Yobs, the Uches let themselves believe their lives were about to change for the better. The end of part 1.